Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday.
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hello, champion. It's Sam Crowley. Welcome back to the Everyday Saturday podcast. It is May 17th. What is it? Is it the 17th? Every day is Saturday. How am I supposed to know what day it is? It is. It's the 17th. Just checked my phone. Had to make sure. Didn't want to give any fake news. Hey, it's great to be back on the show. What a difference a week makes. Holy moly macaroni. Holy cow. Susan slept for the night last night. Praise God. Those of you following along, our daughter got rushed to children's last Wednesday night. All, you know, just horrible situation. She had her tonsils and adenoids out May 1st and then had all this blood coming out of everywhere. Her trach, her throat. She ruptured the healing process in the back of her throat, which, you know, that's a big deal. Having blood going down to your airway when you got a trach, it's a little more complicated. And my wife and I hadn't slept in about 8 years. So it made it a little more complicated with that too, with the family dynamics. I'm back here to report to you that a week after that crazy scenario happened at our home, with Susan going to Children's for a 1 a.m. emergency surgery, she's doing amazing, man. Kids are so damn resilient. Literally, the next day she was home. The next day after that, she's out running around with her sisters outside. And now, 1 week later, we are rocking and rolling, baby. She's healed up. Thank you, God. She's healed up. Yay! Next step, June 21st, cap that trach, get that kid removed off the trach. And wow. What a journey it's been. Let me tell you something. That's kind of the theme of today's show. You can't avoid adversity. You just can't. I mean, we talked about it on the last show. Now, let me tell you what happens, though, when you go through tough times. People have been showing up in our lives, and I mean in a way that I never in a million years, I don't even feel worthy of, you know, this type of treatment that people have shown to us. Meals being brought to the home, which I don't care how rich or wealthy you are, or how much, you know, you don't have a job and you can go to the store and shop. Everybody loves a meal. And as you can count me in that group as numero uno, bringing meals to our house. People from our church and people that have been in locally here that live near us, bringing plants, you know, to it, just dropping them off. And then I had a lady I hadn't talked to in forever, had to have been 6 years. And I can't really give the details because I don't have her permission to share the story. Let me tell you something. We received a FedEx envelope yesterday from a friend of mine I had not talked to in 6 years. And she showed up, gifts for my kids, and just blew us away. We were in tears. It's just crazy. And what the point of all this is, when you go through tough times, you then allow God to show up in your life and use people to bless you, okay? Because if you try to avoid doing anything risky or going bankrupt or any of these health scares that happen, I know, look, it's mainly health, relationships, finances. Those are the three things that really show up in people's lives in a bad, bad way. And those are the valleys. You don't stay there. You don't pitch a tent. Allow these individuals to come into your life and pull you out of that valley. You can't do it on your own. I couldn't do it on my own. These people that have showed up, and look, it's not just the past week when we had that scare with Susan. Guys, we've been on this journey 3 years, all right, from the summer of 2014 when my wife was on bed rest for the entire summer to when Susan was delivered in August to the following year when she came home and 221 days in the hospital and all that. People have been showing up in our life online from Australia to New Zealand to the UK, all over North and South America, praying for us, sending us gifts. Blankets for Susan, outfits for Susan, gifts for my other kids. I don't even know. Most of these individuals have never met them. And yet here they are showing up in times of crisis and trouble. And I believe a lot of that has to do with how faithful my wife and I have been, not only to God, but also faithful in helping other people when we really had nothing to give. And there really is something to when you don't have anything to give, that's when you need to give the most. Because you know what? It makes you feel really good. Because then you quickly realize, man, my troubles aren't that bad. You know, we would help a family out at Children's Hospital or maybe the burn unit at Shriners or any number of stories we might have heard through our church, and we would do it anonymously, and it would always make us feel good, and it would always make us say, wow, you know, we don't have it that bad. We just don't have it as bad as we thought we did. And so now, I mean, all of these great things happening as a result of the adversity that we've been through. Let me ask you a question. Do you allow people, are you a good receiver of gifts? Because I'm not. I'm terrible. Do you allow people to do nice things for you and just say thank you? Or do you say, oh, geez, like if somebody were to give you a $100 gift card, would you re-gift that to somebody else because, oh, someone else needs it more than I do? Well, that's always going to be the case. There's always going to be somebody who could use something more than you can use it, but that's not the point. The laws of giving and receiving, if somebody's going to give, you must receive. And I had to learn this lesson. I am a horrible receiver of gifts. It makes me uncomfortable. I feel awkward. I'm like, come on, man, I don't need anything. I really don't. I mean, I wear $4 shirts from Kohl's. I don't buy any clothes that aren't on the sale rack. I don't need clothes. I'm wearing the same shorts I bought 10 years ago. I have them on right now, you know, before I go to the gym. But people like my friend who sent this amazing FedEx gift yesterday to our family, I had to really swallow hard to receive a gift because it's just not in my DNA to do it. But if I don't do that, then I don't allow the laws of giving and receiving to take place. And I will then obviously pay that forward and give and give and give. And it's just been an amazing learning experience for me. And it all starts by going through adversity. People are like, I don't want to fail. I don't want to go through adversity. I don't want tough times. I want perfect health all the time, every time. I want perfect relationships all the time, every time. Hey, that isn't even real. It's not even reality. You know, that's not even going to, you can't tiptoe through life and safely arrive at your grave. It isn't going to happen. You're going to get blindsided by a number of situations. And that doesn't mean God isn't looking out for you. It doesn't mean that. It just means you're human. It happens to all of us, but allow people to show up in your life and help you. You might be saying, Sam, I've been calling people to help me. All right. I've been asking people to help me. Nobody wants to help me. I get that too. That's when you put your head down and you get to work. You get to work on yourself. You get to work on your business. You get to work in your job. Whatever it is, you get to work and you don't come up for air. You get to work and you add value so you can then go and impact other people and add value to their lives. It's going to come back to you. I'm telling you, tenfold, cup runneth over, all of that. It's coming back to you. But you don't look at yourself. The worst thing is this whole giving and receiving process is to say, hey, I'm asking. Oh, I got my hand up. Can anybody? Come on. Let me. No, don't do that. Just allow it to happen naturally. Okay? Pray about it. Allow God to use people to show up in your life to help you through, but help yourself first. You know that old adage about, you know, when they teach you and when the airplane, there's no oxygen left and they're going over that nobody watches the instructions before the plane takes off anyway. And they're like, okay, now, in the case of cabin pressure, losing oxygen, whatever it is, make sure you grab the mask and put it over whose? Your face. Do they say, make sure you grab a mask and find somebody's face to put it on? No, save yourself first, all right? Make sure you're breathing, and then when someone else needs the help next to you, help them out. But you can't help them if you're passed out. You know what I mean? So help yourself first. Pull yourself up as far as you can. Let God go to work. Let him use other people. And if you feel as though he's not using other people, you may not be listening. That was my biggest trouble as well. I wouldn't listen to other people. You know, oh, I got it. I would have so many things happen throughout the course of the day when I look back and I was really trying to pay attention and listen and then try to be more silent and obedient. That's when I saw all these people trying to help me out and I never listened to them. You know, I just say, oh, no, hey, I can't talk to you right now. I'm going to find somebody that can help me. Hey, thanks a lot. Yeah, I appreciate the offer. I got to go find, I'm looking for somebody. I got to go find somebody to help me, though, or something I can do because I got to make sure I get this out of this situation. When all the time, these people are right there to help me, you know? So don't let that happen to you. The entrepreneurial journey, if you're on it right now, look, it's ups and downs. It's zig and zag, man. I'm sorry to break the news to you, but it ain't this linear graph where you just go from zero to hero. And anybody else that tells you otherwise is lying to your face, okay? You might go broke 17 times, okay? But it's the 18th time that you swing just as hard as you did on the first time is when you're going to realize success. See, most people, they swing, they miss. Swing, miss, swing, miss, swing, maybe a little single. Swing, it looks like a bunt. Swing, not much. Miss. Home run. That's it. Home run. You only need to connect one time. That's it. And man, when I tell you one time, okay, you figure out that secret sauce that works for you. Okay, for me, it was the Everyday Saturday Message, the podcast, and just going with it, man. Not asking for permission anymore. Hey, what do you think? Asking all my broke friends, hey, what do you think of my podcast? I think you suck. I think you're a phony. Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Guess I won't be doing that. No. I would ask individuals who actually are in the game what they thought. Hey, what do you think of this message? Every day is Saturday. Monetize your passion. Accept who you are, not where you are. You're a champion. What do you believe? Oh, man, everybody needs that, Sam. Really? Yeah. Hell yeah. Everybody needs to hear something like that. Right now, everybody's just beaten down, going to a job, working 5 days a week, asking for permission to take 2 days off, or don't do anything too risky. Don't get your hopes up. All that. Sam, they need that message, man. Get that out there. Okay. That's all I needed to hear. I needed to hear that from people that were in the same game I was in. It's like asking somebody who plays football for baseball advice. Hey, how do I hit a pitch coming 95 mile an hour? I don't know. I kick a football through a goalpost. I have no idea how you do it. Oh, okay. But ask somebody who plays baseball how to do it. They probably have a better idea. Are you asking even the right questions to the right people? You know, allow these people to show up in your life, but get in the same game they're in. You know, don't go asking broke people for advice. That's the worst thing you can do. Don't go asking entrepreneurial advice from people who have been on a job their whole life. That's the worst thing you could possibly do. I have people still, God love them, still trying to tell me why it's not bad to have a job. It's like, you're not my target market. That's fine. I don't even know why people listen to my job that have a job and hate it. You know why I think that is? Because they're frustrated. And they're not speaking for other people. They're speaking for themselves. And they're living a life of quiet desperation. Don't email me and call me and try to convince me why it's not that bad to have a job. Having a job sucks for me. Having a job sucks for me. Now, if it doesn't suck for you, then we're not in the same game. You're in a different game than I'm in. And that's perfectly fine. There's a million other messages out there for you to listen to. This is not the one. This is the message for people who want to go through massive transition. This is the message for people who are tired of living in Averageville. This is the message for people who don't want to be average, who don't want to go to a job anymore. Anybody can do that. Anybody can get a job. Getting a job you love and doing what you love to do, now that's the secret sauce there. We have about 20% of the population is in that category. And if that's you, congratulations. That's just as good as making every day Saturday as an entrepreneur. But the 80% of you that are out there hating your job every day, but you're just afraid to make a move because of what? Because of money? Because of your 401k? Oh, I got too much invested in my 401k. All right. I got no help for you, man. If you're held prisoner by a 401k, you got to shift your mindset. That's a 401 can't. Okay, you're going to look back at 75 years old. Hey, I got my home here, my ranch home, you know, all on the same level, 3-bedroom, lawn is finally manicured. Never saw my family, never did anything I wanted to do in my 40s or my 50s, but hey, I'm 75 years old and I got at least 4 years left before I'm dead. But I got that great retirement plan that I'm going to leave as an inheritance to my grandkids. I'm not going to be able to use any of it, but they will. And that's a life well lived. My 401k. That's what I want to be defined as. I want to be defined as a man who diversified his investments, paid cash for my house at the age of 70, and left an inheritance for my grandchildren. You know, you can do all of that. you know you can still leave an inheritance for your grandchildren, and you know you can actually leave a better example for them than a guy or a girl who stayed in a job for 50 years because you were too afraid. Hey, grandma. Hey, grandpa. Why didn't you ever quit your job? Oh, because I was afraid. Oh, so that I should never try anything because I just ought to live in perpetual fear my whole life? No, no, don't listen. Every person I know, I go to 70-year-olds for wisdom. My small group, I'm the youngest one. They're most 70, 83, 80 years old. You know what? It's great wisdom that they have in there because every single one of them would tell you, just like they tell me, don't live a life of regret. Go for it. God has a huge plan for you, and none of it involves being afraid of anything in the secular world, okay? There's nothing to be afraid of. He will pull you through your circumstances if you show any amount of ambition and action to go for it. And these individuals, they'll tell all of you, you know, anybody over the age of 70 years old, 60 years old, anybody who now is looking at the twilight of their career would say, never, ever, ever miss an opportunity to go for your dream. Quit your job. Do what it is that you want to do. Monetize your passion. Figure it out. Go to Sam Crowley's live event. The 80-year-old person will tell you right now, go to samcrowley.live. Secure your ticket to come to Cincinnati because that's what I would have done when I was your age. Cheap plug. Hey, do it. Make it happen. Allow these people to show up in your life to pull you back up, and then you go get up and you step up and you climb up the mountaintop. And man, don't waste a minute. Don't blame it on time. I don't have enough time. No, remember, just say it's not a priority. I don't have enough time. Nope, not a priority. Just not a priority for you. Just keep it real, man. We got 168 hours in a week, okay? You figure it out how you're going to make those hours work, even if you sleep 8 hours, all right? 8 times 7 is 56. Take 56 off. What do you got? 112 still left. What are you doing with 112 hours? You on Facebook sending messages? Trump, Hillary, Trump, Hillary. Oh, man. And don't live a life of regret. Get advice from people that are in the game that you want to play. Don't get advice from people that aren't in the game you're playing. The heck with that? Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. Sam Crowley, thank you for all the love, for our family, for the journey, the Everyday Saturday community. Make sure you join our community. It's free on Facebook. Every day is Saturday. And have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter @SamCrowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag #EveryDayIsSaturday.